You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. You can follow the show on Twitter at TalkLoudPodcast. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher. Just search for Talk Loud Radio, all one word. And you also can find us at TalkLoudRadio.com and, of course, streaming on the Going for Two app. All right, guys, we have a great show tonight. It is December 29th when we're recording this. You're probably listening to it on December 30th or later. We have a great guest coming on tonight, a returning guest. We have Matt Sandell of GoingForTwo.com here to review the NFL season that we just came out of and going into the playoff season to give a quick preview of that. Matt, how you doing tonight?
I'm cold, Jeff. It's like negative 12 here in Minneapolis. So just trying to stay warm and hopefully see a Vikings Super Bowl in the U.S. Bank Stadium. We'll see.
Nice. Yeah, it's pretty cold down here in the D.C. area, too. I think it's like 6 degrees outside right now, which is pretty cold for this time of year. I think last year or 2 years ago, we had a negative 20 wind chill, and that was the lowest we'd ever had. But 6 degrees for the end of December is still pretty damn cold.
Absolutely. Anything below 55 is cold for me.
You lived in the wrong place then. You need to move south a little bit.
I know. I keep telling myself that, and yet I wake up every December and here I still am. But yeah, we'll try and cope through this winter with a little football talk. Got some NBA too coming up, so we'll see.
Good deal. So how was your holiday, man? Did you have a good holiday?
Absolutely. It's nice to just get a couple days off, and the Super Bowl's of course coming to Minneapolis here in early February, and I'm not looking forward to it. A lot of people around Minneapolis are excited for it. It's just people don't realize how much of a shit show it's going to be. You got an extra million people in your city. Traffic's already bad. It's going to be a whole lot worse for about 10 days here. So I'm just waiting for it to be. It's going to be like negative 15. People are sitting in traffic for an extra hour on their commute. Like people don't realize how bad it's going to be in about a month.
Nice. So you got any big plans for the new year coming up here?
Oh, just continuing to watch some sports and continuing my grind. What about you?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, I'm 40 years old now, and I have a 4-year-old, so there ain't much to do on New Year's Eve other than just kind of hang out with some friends and just kind of do a very low key thing. So, looking forward to some football though for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Speaking of football, you ready to go ahead and roll into this?
Absolutely. Can't wait to talk some playoff football. Got some excellent matchups here for the playoffs coming up, and there's still a lot to play for in week 17 here. So yeah, let's get right into it.
All right, good deal. Speaking of week 17, of course, you know we're talking about this before week 17, and there's still a few things left to be decided. Wild cards, positioning, there are a few teams that are on the outside looking in that can potentially get in the playoffs. Few teams that are on the bubble that could end up out of the playoffs. But as far as the season, looking back on the regular season, what are some of the biggest surprises that for you for this past season, fantasy or non-fantasy related? We'll start in the NFC.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk some teams first, just to get started. So NFC, I gotta give a lot of credit to Bill Simmons has his site, The Ringer. and they have an excellent podcast. It's called The Ringer NFL Show every two days every week. And so I listened to that a lot in the summer. And right before the season started, they have Robert Mays and Kevin Clark on there, and they gave two bold predictions, one AFC, one NFC, to start the year. And Robert Mays' bold prediction, and boy, was this just a hot take. Like, my eyes literally, like, became inflamed with how how awesome of a hot take this was. But he said that he believed that the Philadelphia Eagles would be playing in the NFC Championship game this year.
Wow.
And whether or not that comes true, this year, just the fact that he thought the Eagles were going to be excellent and awesome this year, and they're the best team in the NFL record-wise. So that was just such a fire take that he had. And so that was a big surprise to me. I don't really want to talk about the Eagles because we've been talking about them all year, but did you see that happening this year?
I did not see that happening. I did not. I mean, of the teams that have gone from worst to first, the Eagles was not on my radar at all. I think I was looking at the NFC South as being a potential worst to first, because that seems to be where that happens all the time every year, in and out. But yeah, the NFC East, I pretty much had the Redskins and Giants battling for that spot with the Cowboys in the mix as well. Eagles weren't even on my mind.
Exactly. And, you know, they weren't. I would just want to talk about them a little bit because, I mean, they are up there as one of the best stories in the NFL this year. I mean, Carson Wentz, the strides and the improvements that he made in just one season, even though he did just come off an ACL tear, I mean, you have to be ecstatic if you're a Philly fan. Because you have a franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years right there. I don't think he's going anywhere. They're going to lock him up. He's going to be the star quarterback there for 10 years. But just they were pretty good last year. They were about 7-9, something like that, 6-10, and something like that. But every single week they were 10-1, 11-1 at one point. It's like, man, just I did not see that coming. It just, They're in such a tough division too. I mean, you got the Cowboys, who have struggled with injuries and the suspension of Ezekiel Elliott, and then of course the Giants. What the hell happened there? I mean, they were a playoff team last year, and although they got knocked out in the wild card, I mean, you still expect them to finish at least 8-8 or 9-7, and a lot of people had them as a quiet Super Bowl contender coming into the year because they have an excellent defense. And, you know, they got Brandon Marshall and Evan Ingram. But, man, and then the Redskins are like an 8-8 team. Like, they're pretty good, too. But I just did not see the Eagles at all coming out of the NFC. And, you know, they're starting Nick Foles in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens. I don't think they're going to be – probably not going to sneak into the NFC Championship game. But props to Robert Mays of the Ringer NFL Show for calling that hot take. He nailed that one. He thought the Eagles were going to be great, and they've had an awesome season so far. But any other ones that you're looking at in the NFC? I got a couple more.
I mean, I have the 3 seed right now in the NFC. That's the Rams. I definitely did not see them coming. I thought they were going to be a better team now that they got rid of Jeff Fisher. I didn't see them going 11-4 where they are currently, and potentially going 12-4 if they win this weekend coming up. Jared Goff looked to be a bust last year. He barely played. Todd Gurley looked like he was a one-hit wonder. He looked like he was going to go into the Trent Richardson mold and have a good rookie season and then just fall off the map, and now he's an MVP candidate this year. I mean, I did not see them coming, especially as a fan of the NFC West. You know, I'm the 49ers fan. The Rams, I did not have pegged to be as good as they were, for sure.
Absolutely, and I wish we had a soundbite of Stephen A. Smith. Right after Sean McVay was hired, they asked him, like, do you think a 31-year-old should be coaching in the NFL? And of course he just did his classic, oh, this is blasphemy that a 31-year-old millennial is coaching in the NFL. And of course, just another freezing cold take from Stephen A. Smith. Sean McVay is coach of the year this year. There's no question about it. Just what he took a team that was 4-12 last year, just terrible Rams team. You're looking at, I mean, coming into the season, we're looking at Jared Goff and we're like, oh man, what a bust. They're going to have to draft another quarterback. And then it's like, they also made the switch from St. Louis to Los Angeles. So they were getting a lot of heat from that. Of course, everybody in St. Louis hates the Rams now. And just, you know, they wanted to come into the Los Angeles with a lot of hype and whatnot. And it just didn't happen because Jeff Fisher is just such a bad coach at this level. And I just, you look at the roster didn't change at all. It's the same players. It's except for a couple receivers. I mean, Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins, but the defense is the same. And I mean, Todd Gurley and Jared Goff were there last year, and they were just non-factors at all last year. So I just switching up the coach, it just shows how much of an impact head coaches in the NFL really have on their teams, unlike in the NBA, MLB, and NHL. I mean, just one switch up and you take a 4-12 team to a 12-4 team just like that in 1 year.
Definitely. I think so in the NFL, it's a lot of scheme.
They were on my list. They were on my list for sure. I mean, they're even more of a surprise to me than the Eagles. Just the Eagles, the Eagles made like a 4 or 5 game jump. The Rams made like an 8 or 9 game jump, man. Like I just did not see that coming at all.
Definitely. Definitely. You got any more surprises in the NFC you want to talk about?
How about the fact that 2 of the 3 Pro Bowl running backs for the NFC are on the New Orleans Saints? When has that ever happened that 2 running backs or 2 receivers tandems have been Pro Bowlers together? Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, are both Pro Bowlers. That's ridiculous. They play in the same backfield. They share touches and they still both had monster years that both of them were good enough to make the Pro Bowl. That's nuts. We'll never see that again. I mean, 2 running backs from the same team who share carries getting the Pro Bowl nod. So not only that, but the Saints in general, I mean, I didn't really see, I thought they'd be probably like a 7 or 8 win team, but they're legitimate Super Bowl contenders with Sean Payton there and Drew Brees continuing to kill it at age 39. So watch out for the Saints come playoff time for sure.
Definitely. I think pretty much 4 of the top, you know, of the 6 seeds in the NFC right now, you can probably peg as surprises. The Vikings, of course, were, you know, a good team coming in, but they lost their quarterback early in the season. You got Case Keenum coming in, career backup. Everyone's like, oh, the Vikings are done. You know, they're not going to be able to make the playoffs this year. And then they go on a tear, and they're currently 12-3 right now, number 2 seed in the NFC. So really 4 of those teams, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Saints, and the Rams, I don't think anybody had, you know, where they are as far as seeded right now. Of course, the Falcons and Panthers were picked to be pretty decent, but those 4 teams are surprised overall.
No, whatever, you're completely right, Jeff. 100%. That whatever team makes it to the Super Bowl on the NFC side, even the Panthers or the Falcons, it's going to be a surprise. It doesn't matter what team out of the 6, it's going to be like, wow, the Saints, who won 6 games last year in the Super Bowl this year, are like, man, the Vikings lost Dalvin Cook and Sam Bradford, and they're playing in the Super Bowl. It's going to be a surprise no matter what team in the NFC makes it to the Super Bowl, and it's got to be one of them. So we'll see. But from a fantasy perspective, I want to stick with the Saints. You know, a big, big, big surprise, especially if you've been playing fantasy for the last 2 or 3 years, it's of course boomed. Fantasy sports have just of course exploded over the last several years. The Saints defense, from a fantasy perspective and an actual real life football perspective, have been fantastic this season, and that's a big part of their success. That's probably more so than the awesome tandem in the backfield, is that you got Marshon Lattimore, who is a rookie, he's a Pro Bowler this year, had an excellent season. And their front 4 of Sheldon Rankins and Cameron Jordan have just been a terror for opposing offensive lines this year. And I watched the Falcons game, Falcons Saints game this last weekend. I mean, they held the Falcons to like 14 points, and guys like Monte Teo are playing big downs for them. It's like, oh my God. So I don't know really what changed for them. They didn't really have that much of a personnel change, I guess. They got a couple of good rookies who have really made an impact in Rankins and Lattimore, but I mean, Rob Ryan got fired, and I just don't really know where that change went. But they were some weeks, like early in the season, the Saints were like a must-start defense at fantasy.
Yep.
And so I just did not see that coming, because we had always said that they're the quote-unquote Coors Field for MLB fantasy players. Coors Field defense, you always play your players against the Saints defense, but not anymore, man. The Saints defense exploded this year.
Definitely. I think a lot that has to do with it is that running game. I think you can keep those defensive players fresh. You know, in the past, you know, Drew Brees in that passing game would score so quickly, or they'd go three and out so quickly that the defense had to be on the field constantly and they get tired. I think the running game helps the defense tremendously.
100%. You see that with what happened to the Broncos this year. I mean, you have your quarterbacks, Trevor Siemian, your quarterbacks, Paxton Lynch, your quarterback is Brock Osweiler, the three and outs and the quick passes that just don't work out. The defense was on the field so much for the Broncos this year, and they were just terrible. They lost eight straight games because, you know, as good as that defense is, I know they got Von Miller, Chris Harris, and just that defense was awful this year because they were playing so much. The time of possession was so off this year, and that really had an impact. And that happened with my Vikings last year. Everson Griffin's talked about it this at the start of this year. He said, you know, towards the end of the year when our offensive line was giving up sacks and Sam Bradford was just getting hit so much and the running game wasn't doing anything, our defense, as good as the Vikings defense was and is currently, I mean, they just were on the field so much. They're so tired by the fourth quarter. It's just, it really takes a toll. So that's a great point. I mean, the running game in New Orleans has helped the defense for sure.
Definitely. All right, let's jump over to the AFC now. What surprises you got over here in the AFC?
All right. Of course, I mean, everybody wants to talk about the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars, they're still an anomaly. And I wasn't that surprised by it. I thought the Jaguars were going to be pretty good coming into the season. I mean, their defense was elite last year, and it's been even better this year. I mean, they have some excellent players on that side of the ball, and Jalen Ramsey and Calais Campbell's a Pro Bowler for them, leads the league in sacks. And I mean, just that whole defense is just a nightmare to play against. I think it's the best defense in the NFL. What do you think?
I think it was until last week when my team just tore them up for 44 points. I don't know what we did differently than everybody else in the NFL did, but man, did we look good last week.
I set you up for that, Elliot, but I should know better than to do that. But yeah, I think it's either my Vikings or the Jacksonville Jaguars who has the best defense in the NFL. And I mean, they helped the Steelers to they made Roethlisberger throw five picks at home,
yeah.
And that's when everybody sort of looked around and they're like, whoa, like the Jaguars are freaking good, man. They helped the Steelers to I think it was nine points that game. They shut down the Steelers at home. So that's when everybody sort of went and took notice. But again, the Jaguars, I didn't see that big of a surprise. Two teams actually in the same division that I want to talk about. And I want you to guess one team this year. I cannot believe they have as many wins as they do. Can you guess the team that I'm thinking of? And I think it's going to surprise a lot of people, but I just cannot believe they have, and it's not even that impressive or anything, but I just cannot believe that they have as many wins as they do.
I'm going to guess the Ravens just because I didn't have the Ravens in the playoffs at all.
Oh, interesting. No, I'm actually going to go with a different route. I'm going to say that I just cannot believe that the New York Jets have won five games.
I honestly,
so Vegas, of course, predicts what every team is going to go throughout the season. They have all the games favored. And of course, at the start of the season, I mean, of course, injuries happen and those lines change throughout the weeks. But they did not have the Jets to win a single game this year. And I completely agree with them. Looking at that roster, they tried to blow it up and they tried to make this an obvious tanking season. They traded a bunch of players away, Sheldon Richardson. I can't believe Matt Forte is still on the team, but they just traded everybody away. You're looking at Christian Hackenberg and Bryce Petty as a quarterback competition. I'm like, there's no way this team wins a game this year. And they've won five games, and they started off 3-2. And this is a double-edged sword because they were eliminated from the playoffs a couple weeks ago, and nobody thought that they were going to make the playoffs. And this is a extremely, extremely deep quarterback draft. And that's the one position that they really struggle with. And they had Josh McCown did okay for him, but he's retiring pretty soon. And he's not the long-term solution, obviously. But this is a double-edged sword for him. I mean, everybody knew the Jets were going to be bad, and they started winning games. And their fans are like, stop winning games. We need a good draft pick. We need a first or second overall pick. And what do the Jets do? They actually start winning football games when everybody's already given up on the season. And then, you know, their fans are actually kind of getting into it. They were like 5-8 at one point. They're actually kind of on the verge of making the playoffs. And then it's like, nope, we're eliminated and we're going to get like the 11th pick. And it's like, okay, what the hell was that? Why did we do that? But I just honestly, I thought the Jets would probably win like one or two games. I thought they were going to be worse than the Browns. And the fact that they've won five games is really shocking to me. I think Todd Bowles is actually a really good coach. And that to me is just so shocking. I'm still perplexed by that they have five wins. And they were like, well, yeah, 5-8 at one point. So that was one big surprise for me. And another, staying in that division, the Bills are about to make the playoffs, basically. I don't know. We'll see what happens this weekend, but I think they'll beat the Dolphins. And depending if they can get some help, I think the Bills might actually sneak into the playoffs. And they were doing the same thing that the Jets were. They were trying to tank and trading away good players and trying to build for the future. And then a couple weeks went by and they were actually had a good record. They looked around like, well, should we try and make the playoffs this year? So that's a weird one too, that the Bills had the longest playoff drought, even worse than the Browns. The Bills haven't made the playoffs in 18 seasons and the Browns actually made it in 2002. So if the Bills make the playoffs this year, that would be really big for their future, because Belichick and Brady aren't going to be around forever. And, you know, if this team right now, who is trying to tank at the start of the season, actually makes the playoffs and they have a ton of draft picks coming up this year, you know, maybe this can be something for the future, but we'll see. That was another one, just the Bills and Jets, and the fact that they have to play the Patriots twice a year.
Yep.
Didn't see their records being what they were. I'm still the Jets, five wins is still pretty amazing.
If I'm not mistaken, too, I think the Bills, let's assume that the Titans lose, it'll come down to the Chargers and the Bills. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't the Charger-Bill game, isn't that when they started Peterman, who threw five interceptions in that first quarter? Wouldn't it be something if it comes down 100%. To that? Yeah, if it comes down to that, you know, if the Titans lose, both the Chargers and Bills win, the Chargers will get in based on that head-to-head when they actually benched Tyrod Taylor for no reason. I mean, it wasn't like he was playing terribly at that point. They benched him for the rookie, and he throws five interceptions in the first half and gets benched before the second half. And that would be sort of like some karma for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, it's funny. This was a very, very weak quarterback draft besides, of course, Deshaun Watson. And I don't think Trubisky of the Bears is very good. And Mahomes actually gets to start this week. So we'll get to see a little action from him. But this was a really, really weak quarterback draft. And Nathan Peterman was like a fifth or sixth round rookie. So it's like, why are you throwing it's a not a deep quarterback draft. You had basically just a punt of a pick in like the fifth round. We're like, oh, we'll take Nathan Peterman. Why is he starting over Tyrod Taylor for a playoff contender? Like, that was such a boneheaded move by Sean McDermott. Boneheaded move. And Tyrod Taylor's been excellent since he got his revenge. And Nathan Peterman will probably never start another NFL game unless there's like four quarterbacks injured, because he had through five picks and a half, and you don't really come back from that in the NFL. That was pretty poor performance. So that would be some karma for the Bills, and it would just be the most Bills thing ever if that happens to him.
Definitely. All right, so we're running a little bit behind here, but let's do some quick disappointments this season for the NFC.
Coming into the year, I think everybody's leap team, a surprise team that everybody had in the NFC and the AFC, was a lot of people thought that the Titans would be really good in the AFC, and that's been pretty spot on. I'm not a big fan of the Titans, and looking at the record and the games they've played, they just play in a really bad division, and they get easy wins against the Colts and the Texans week in and week out, and so I don't think the Titans are that good or any threat in the playoffs. But a lot of people had the Buccaneers, and I'm sure you did as well, as a leap team this year. They were 8-8 last year. They showed some real strides. They drafted OJ Howard. They signed Deshaun Jackson. Their defense was pretty good last year too. And if not for a loss against the Cowboys late in the season, they might have stuck into the playoffs. So a lot of people had the Buccaneers going far this year and being a wild card playoff team, maybe a 10 or 11 win team. And boy, they went the opposite direction. They are 4-11 right now. Jameis doesn't really seem to have the team, and just, I don't know what's wrong with them. I mean, they have so many offensive weapons. They have, they just put a lot of money into their team, and Dirk Cutter is going to get fired because of the play of the Buccaneers this year. They should have been in the playoffs, and it's not really their fault. They play in a really tough division, the best division in football, basically. Three other teams that they play, six games a year, are all playoff teams. So it's not really their fault. But man, I thought the Buccaneers were going to be good this year, and no, they've really, really been a disappointment.
Yep, I'm there with you with the Buccaneers. I had them picked to actually win that division, and they end up at the last of the division. So that's, yeah, that's definitely a disappointment. Their defense was terrible last or this year as well. They were good last year, or at least decent last year. They were terrible this year. Offensively, they were terrible. You know, even though they added pieces like DeSean Jackson and drafted O.J. Howard and all this talk about Winston and his weapons, and now it just looks bad. The other team that I had as disappointment as well, we kind of mentioned earlier, is the Giants. You know, to only win two games to this point in the season. You know, I know they had some injury issues, but they added a bunch of pieces on the offense. They had a really good defense already. The defense played terrible this year. Eli Manning didn't look very good, got benched at one point in the season. You know, Brandon Marshall, even when he was healthy, wasn't doing a whole lot of anything. It just, it wasn't pretty from the very beginning. Even when they were healthy, it was an ugly team. I think that was a big surprise as well.
Absolutely. I mean, and to be a 10-6 team last year, and then to be a 2-13 team right now, it's like, and you didn't lose anybody. You gained Brandon Marshall, drafted Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard showed some signs, but man, I'm there with you. But after they started off 0-5, the season was over.
Was,
I mean,
done.
You can't come back from that, especially with the Eagles and Cowboys in your division. It was over right before it began, basically. I mean, that team was so bad from the beginning that there was just a bad season, and Ben McAdoo definitely deserved to get fired. He just lost the team. Absolutely.
Definitely. All right. Speaking of starting 0-5, we have the Browns this year, currently sitting at 0-15, potentially going to lose their last game and go 0-16. It's only happened one other time in NFL history. The Lions did it. Can the Browns do anything right? And is there any sliver of optimism for next season or even the season after that?
Man, this is so back to the Ringer NFL show. Their other hot take, Robert Mays's other hot take, on that season preview podcast. And I could see it. I mean, I didn't think it was that shocking, but he said that he thought the Browns would win six games this year. And that one was a freezing cold take. besides his Eagles hot take was absolute fire. But you know, looking at this team, I mean, oh man, I mean, where do you start? I mean, everything is just an absolute shit show in Cleveland. I mean, players don't want to play there. They can't attract free agents. The quarterbacks in this draft are fighting to not go there. I mean, it's either, do you want to play for the Giants or do you want to play for the Browns? The choice is extremely easy, but, man, it's so tough. And they just got a new GM, John Dorsey. And he made an interesting comment, that I thought probably rubbed some people the wrong way in the organization. As he said, the prior GM that got fired, he was quoted as saying in an article, they didn't draft, quote, real football players.
Wow.
And what he meant by that is, I think what he's talking about is, you know, the system that they had in place, the Browns, is they were sort of like a money ball. Like, they'd have a bunch of picks. They'd pick guys who maybe didn't fit the position, but they were really athletic. And you know, that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, because the players he's talking about are still on
the
Browns.
Team.
Like, he's
yeah.
not saying people like 5 years ago. He's talking about like Jabril Peppers and freaking David Njoku and DeShone Kizer. Like, he's insulting players who currently play for the team. So there's probably going to be some turnover in the Browns organization for sure, because, I mean, man, even look at what Belichick did. You know, Jamie Collins a couple of years ago said he wanted this big contract, Belichick shipped him to the Browns because he knew that was the last place that he wanted to go.
Yep, it's funny. That's definitely funny. Yeah, the Browns, I think the Browns are just, I mean, I guess the only upside to the Browns is for next year is that it can't get any worse. You know what I mean? You can't lose more than zero games. You can't. So I guess if they win two games next year, they're on the up and up.
Well, the thing was, is, you know, I mean, a lot, like Robert May said, he thought they were going to win six games. I thought they'd win at least four or five, but last year they were just the biggest joke and one of the biggest jokes in NFL history, 1-15, barely beat the Chargers by a field goal to save that 0-16 season. But, you know, they had three first round picks. They got Jabril Peppers, Njoku, and then Myles Garrett. And what happens with three first round picks? You do worse than 1-15 the next year. Like, oh my God, what they're just can't, I don't know what to do, man. I mean, I'm just glad that I'm not in charge of that franchise because they're just the only real optimism that they have is that they have two top five picks in this draft. They have the Texans pick. And then of course they have the first overall pick. So if they can get like Sam Darnold and Saquon Barkley, that would be pretty interesting. But I mean, just the fact that, I mean, you look at a team like the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is not an attractive destination for free agents. But the Packers have A, Aaron Rodgers, and B, the team has a lot of history and they've been good for decades and they always make the playoffs. So I mean, they can attract free agents because of their history and because they have Aaron Rodgers. You look at a team like the Browns, no one wants to play in Cleveland. So there you already shot yourself in the foot there. Nobody wants to play in Cleveland, Ohio. And then the fact that they've been a joke for the last 15 seasons, I mean, it's tough, man. I mean, nobody really wants to play there. So, I mean, you can find a way out of it by having great history or a great quarterback like Green Bay has, because Green Bay, Wisconsin, not a big free agent destination. But, man, you got to draft guys. And now we've seen even the Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold are fighting to not play for the Browns. So they've just made this rebuild look impossible. And I don't think things are going to get much better here in the next couple of years.
I agree 100%. All right, let's jump into some playoffs here. In the NFC, we'll start there. We got something that, to my knowledge, has never happened before. The top two seeds in the NFC, of course, the Vikings and the Eagles, will go into the playoffs this year with basically backup QBs at the helm. Now, Case Keenum has kind of won that starting job. He played all year. He played great all year. So he kind of owns that team right now. But then you got Nick Foles for the Eagles, you know, with the top seed. Carson Wentz goes down a few weeks ago. He takes over, you know, kind of his return to the Eagles. What do you think about these two teams and their quarterbacks, and what chances do you give them making the Super Bowl?
Well, it's interesting. And just a quick tidbit back to the Browns. They're not beating the Steelers this week, so they will be going 0-16. There's just no doubt about it. But anyway, back to some real playoff contenders. We have, you know, it's really interesting. Let's start with the Vikings. I mean, Case Keenum, undrafted from the University of Houston. He played for the Texans and then played under Jeff Fisher last year and got benched for Jared Goff. They wanted to see more of Goff. And, you know, a lot of football fans like you and me know coming into the season that Case Keenum isn't a very good quarterback, to our knowledge, from what we've seen. And so as a Vikings fan, I mean, Sam Bradford goes down in week two and in practice. And, you know, Case Keenum's going to start because Bridgewater's still done. And then in that, it's against the Steelers at Pittsburgh. And Keenum had an awful, awful game. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a long, long season. Because prior to our knowledge, I mean, you and me, you know, Case Keenum just hasn't been good. And so just, I'm not sure what really turned around for him. I think a lot has to do with, Pat Shurmur, the Vikings offensive coordinator. I think he just really, really is kind of the QB whisperer. I mean, Sam Bradford was incredible for the Vikings last year. And I think, a little of that has rubbed off on Case Keenum because I watch all the games. And so what I'm seeing is that he just is extremely mobile and in the pocket, the pocket will collapse on him all the time, and he'll be able to maneuver out of it and just makes these incredible throws under pressure with guys inches away from tackling him, and just has an awesome, awesome pocket presence. And so that's been the difference. Is I really think that Keenum was just in bad situations with Jeff Fisher as coach, and then Bill O'Brien in Houston, I don't think is a very good quarterback coach. And so I think just he needed a change of scenery, and he's really found a home in Minnesota. And man, I can't believe it's saying it, but you know, Case Keenum might be the Super Bowl's starting quarterback for the NFC in the Super Bowl. We'll see. But there may just be a chance that Case Keenum wasn't always bad. He was just in some bad situations. But from what I've seen from him this year, and I know, I'm sure you've watched a couple Vikings games, like that, he's been excellent this year. Just his pocket presence and the throws he makes, he's been awesome. And so I'd say out of the two, him and Nick Foles, I think Keenum's the better quarterback, and Keenum also plays with the better defense. So I'd probably say, if I'm betting, gun to my head, who has a better chance of making the Super Bowl, I think it's got to be Case Keenum. And again, Nick Foles, we've seen him be good in the past, but we've also seen him been really, really bad at times.
Terrible, yes.
I don't really have any hot takes on Nick Foles. I mean, he's an excellent backup quarterback, we'll put it that way. And he's played well so far for the Eagles. He had four touchdowns the other day against the Giants. So I don't know, we'll see. But I think just Keenum's just made impressive strides this year. And man, even if Sam Bradford was rumored to be coming back for the Vikings a couple days ago, and he's coming back to play backup quarterback, because Keenum, his job is totally safe.
Secure.
He
played
so well. Like when Teddy Bridgewater came back, the margin of error for Case Keenum was one game. One game, if he has one bad game, they get one terrible loss, he plays terrible, he's gone, and it's back to Teddy's team. But that game never came, and he just continued to throw touchdowns and just had excellent pocket presence. And he's beaten the Falcons, the Rams, the Lions. He's beaten some really good teams. So it's no fluke at this point. I mean, Case Keenum's for real. I think he's the real deal. And so I think the Vikings have a much better chance going to the playoffs than the Eagles do right now.
I agree 100%. I think the fact that Keenan's been playing, you know, all season, basically, I think since week three, and what he's done with that team, I think he pretty much owns that team now. I think it's his team. He's not looking over his shoulder anymore at who's going to be behind him, who's taking his job if he throws interceptions. I think that confidence is going to bleed over into the playoffs, and I think they got the best chance in the NFC to make the Super Bowl. But sticking with the unlikely QB scenario, let's take it down to the number three seed currently. We kind of talked about it earlier, but who had Jared Goff and the Rams as the three seed, and then Todd Gurley as an MVP candidate? Just insane. What's your chances of them making the playoffs? I mean, the Super Bowl.
You know, they're again, man, just looking at all these NFC teams, every single one is going to be a surprise. Every single one is just going to be like, holy crap, the Rams are playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Oh, my God. They were 4-12 last year. Like, it's every team is just going to be a shock. And I think the Rams have an excellent, excellent chance. And to be honest, I, as a Vikings fan, I'm kind of scared of the Rams. I mean, the Vikings did handily beat them at home this year, 24-7. But the Rams, Sean McVay, just what he's done with that offense, and Wade Phillips is holding down that defense. And another big thing of the Rams is they have the best special teams unit in the NFL. Punter Johnny Hecker's a Pro Bowler. Greg Zuerlein, Pro Bowler. Their punt returner, kick returner, Pro Bowler. They have the best special teams unit in the NFL, and that's been a huge X factor for them in games. They just, I know, as a Vikings fan, I mean, having a kicker that you cannot rely on, Blair Walsh, and to a smaller extent, Kai Forbath. I mean, having that special teams unit that you can rely on is extremely, extremely important to playoff teams, especially, as we've seen.
Definitely, definitely. All right, before we get to the AFC, we'll take a quick break here, quick commercial break, and then we come back, we'll talk some AFC.
Sounds good.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, goingfor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfor2.com because no one remembers the extra point.
Peep the story. Sunny Chiba Gishi Sway. Check it out. Volume 1 of this joint.
I ski in Switzerland, down in Morocco, gambling, handling. Be out for my crooks back in the BXX, collect wines, Italian designs.
All right, guys, welcome back. We are still here with Matt Sandel of goingfor2.com, talking some NFL playoffs. We just previewed the NFC playoffs, and I'll do the AFC. Matt, so looking at the AFC, we got the top two seeds here. You know, for all the surprises that we have in the NFC, the top two seeds in the AFC are the ho-hum, business as usual, Tom Brady and the Patriots, Big Ben and the Steelers. As far as those top two seeds, then we got the Jags at number three. Despite their ugly loss against the 49ers last week, they still have one of the more dominant defenses in the league. What are your chances? What are your thoughts on the Jaguars, and what do you think they can do in the playoffs this year?
You know, I mean, the Jaguars, of course, have been the huge breakout team in the AFC. And, you know, I got to give a lot. Their defense is fantastic, but you got to give a lot of credit to Leonard Fournette, rookie running back out of LSU. Leonard Fournette has been just fantastic for them and for fantasy owners this year who drafted him, because, yeah, I wasn't totally sold, because running backs and quarterbacks in fantasy and in real football, you know, they go hand in hand. I mean, Le'Veon Bell benefits from Big Ben. And same with Todd Gurley and Jared Goff. They just benefit from having each other. You got to respect both Gurley and Goff. You got to respect Big Ben's throwing ability and Bell's running ability. And so having Blake Bortles at quarterback, I mean, that's tough. I mean, people don't really take him seriously, and he's had a couple good weeks in the past, but having an excellent running season from Leonard Fournette, it's tough when your quarterback isn't good and people expect you to run the ball. They are very predictable when they run the ball. And so the problem with the Jaguars, I think, is that I don't know if we can trust Blake Bortles in the playoffs. I just really don't. He just was basically the consensus worst starting quarterback coming into the NFL.
Matt, you're breaking up.
And I think there wasn't really even Josh McCown, I mean, we'll see. He's had a couple good weeks, but even early on in the season, it was still business as usual. He just doesn't. And he did lose Allen Robinson, and the receivers he's throwing to right now are like D.D. Westbrook and some guy. I can't remember. It's like his last name started like Myra. I don't even remember, but he was living in his car like several months ago, and he was player of the week last week. So the guys he's throwing to, it's like, man. So I really worry about the Jags offense. I totally trust their defense, but can they score against the good defenses in the AFC? Like, it's going to be tough. What do you think?
Well, I think my team sort of gave the blueprint on how to beat them. I mean, we stopped the run last week. I think what goes unnoticed is my team has been really good against the run the past few weeks. We held Leonard Fournette to 48 yards, 2.7 average. He did get a touchdown, a one-yard plunge in. But we stopped the run, and we forced Blake Bortles to throw the ball, and we saw what he did. He threw three interceptions. And I think that's sort of the blueprint to beating the Jags, is making Blake Bortles beat you. So I think teams that are playing them in the playoffs kind of look at our game as like the blueprint to beating them is, if you can stop Leonard Fournette, you know, if you can get some points on the board and you can force Blake Bortles to throw the ball a ton, then I think you got a chance of winning the game. So as much as I like watching the Jags, you know, they have that good defense. I think they're kind of nicknamed themselves Saxville, I think now, Saxonville, because lead the league in sacks right now. So it's a great story, but unfortunately, I don't think they got a chance against the top two seeds there. I think they're the best by far of the wild card round, with the Ravens, the Titans, the Chiefs, and then even if the Chargers and Bills get in, I think they're by far the best team of that group. But when they get to the Patriots and Steelers, they're sort of outclassed in that sense.
Well, it's interesting because you know who's looking over their shoulder a little bit, I think, are the Steelers. Because the Steelers, like we mentioned earlier, Big Ben's worst game of his career came against Jacksonville earlier on in the season. 5 interceptions, no touchdowns. They lost 30-9 at home. And so, you know, they really figured them out. And Antonio Brown might not be 100% healthy for that playoff game. So
that's a good point.
If they can take him away and stop the running game, I mean, man, the Steelers could get upset. That's the only team. But I think the Patriots will destroy Jacksonville. And, you know, the AFC just really isn't that interesting for the playoffs. I really don't think there's any shot of the AFC championship not being Pittsburgh versus New England. I don't know. What do you think? I just think the AFC is so much more boring than the NFC because whatever team makes it out of the NFC is just going to be a shock.
I agree 100%. I think it's just those top two seeds. Patriots, Steelers is one of those two guys that are going to be in Super Bowl for sure. Speaking of which, you know, looking at both conferences, you got the NFC. I think the balance of power has kind of shifted to the NFC a little bit over the past few years, where this year we might have a 10-6 team not make the playoffs in the NFC, where you've got 8-7 teams right now. You know, they're 8-7, their record, and they can make the playoffs at 9-7 if they win this weekend. So I think the NFC overall has the stronger conference, but they still got they still got Tom Brady in the AFC. If Tom Brady,
exactly.
if we assume that he makes the Super Bowl this year again, if you can hand pick one NFC team that's in the playoffs to possibly upset them, who are you taking?
So let's just do the final four. I think in the AFC, Pittsburgh, New England. I just don't see anything else happening, same as it was last year. And to be honest, Pittsburgh isn't really a threat to New England. They weren't last year. They were down 33-9 at one point in the AFC championship game last year. It was a super boring game. And I know they should have beat New England a couple weeks ago, but you know, come playoff time, Tommy Brady and Bill Belichick, they're just going to destroy him. I really do. I don't think Pittsburgh's that much of a threat. If you look at some of the games, and you're with me on this, look at some of the games that Pittsburgh had throughout the season. They beat the Browns by 3 points week one. Not something to hang your hat on. They were down 10-0 against the Colts at half in week nine, and they won that game 20-17 against the Colts. And just look at their schedule. It's been really easy, and they beat the Ravens by 1 point at home. I mean, they are 12-3, but they're not as good as a 12-3 team. They're just not. They've barely won against the very, very bad teams. They lost to the Bears early on in the season. I don't think Pittsburgh is really that good of a team. I just think New England's going to blow them out of the water in the playoffs.
Agreed.
And I just don't believe in the Steelers making the Super Bowl. So I think it's going to be New England, of course, in the Super Bowl again. But in the NFC, I think the final two, I think it's going to be the Vikings versus the Saints is my prediction.
Yeah, I had that as well. I actually would like to see the Vikings and Rams, but of course that matchup can't happen because they'll match up in the round before that. But yeah, I think the Vikings and Saints is definitely a good, you know, potential NFC West championship game. It'll be in Minnesota, but they play in a dome now, so there won't be any kind of weather situation for the Saints. But Drew Brees is not as good on the road, which scares me a little bit, so he will have to go on the road to play the Vikings. But yeah, I think that'll be the NFC championship game if the Rams somehow don't upset the Vikings in that second round there. But yeah, I think Vikings and Saints is definitely the way to go. And if I was going to pick one team that could potentially knock off the Patriots, I think it is the Vikings. Believe it or not,
wow.
even with Case Keenum, I think that defense has exactly what Tom Brady is, you know, sort of against, you know, sort of what can beat Tom Brady. The Vikings have, you know, they can get pressure on the quarterback. They can run the ball. They can control the clock. And I think that the Vikings have the best shot to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
You know, I love that. I love where you're coming from, but you know, I think the Saints will be playing in the Super Bowl against the Patriots this year. That's my hot take for the playoffs. I think looking at their defense and just Sean Payton's an excellent coach. Their running game is the best in the NFL. Two Pro Bowl running backs on their team. They have Michael Thomas. They just have an awesome, awesome quarterback in Drew Brees, still doing it at age 39, experienced. They've been here before. And just the biggest X factor, like we talked about, their defense is really, really good. Their defense is legit. It's not on par with the Vikings, but although the Vikings did beat the Saints in week one, I mean, a lot has changed since week one. I think that just the Saints defense can hold the Vikings down. And I think that the Saints can expose a little bit with some trickery here and there against the Vikings defense. So I think the Saints will be playing in the Super Bowl. If gun to my head, I think it'd be Saints Patriots. Patriots win 30-21 is my prediction.
All right. Unfortunately, I don't want to vote for the Patriots, but I think you're right. I think Patriots do win this game. I hate to say it. I'll be rooting against them every round that they play. Just not a big Patriots fan. I don't like the Patriots. I want to see someone knock them off. I'd love to see them lose in that second round to whoever makes it, you know, but it's not going to happen, but it would be awesome to see. But yeah, I think if it's the Saints, if it's the Vikings, it's the Rams, it doesn't matter who it is. I think the Patriots just have too much firepower. They've got the best coach in the NFL. They got the best quarterback in the NFL. They're going to find a way to win that game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like every other year, Jeff. But you know, last year when we did our NFL postseason podcast, check the tape. I mean, it's on the internet for everybody to see. I predicted every single game throughout the playoffs right when we did the bracket, including the Falcons making it and losing to the Patriots. And yep. I'm bummed that I didn't put like $20-$30 on it, but I had Falcons Patriots, Falcons Packers in the NFC Championship game, and then Pittsburgh New England was pretty easy. And I just think the Patriots are going to take it this year, and all 31 other teams are going to be shaking their head, because every other team, and I know you, every other team who isn't a fan of the New England Patriots, you hate the Patriots so much.
Yes.
Just everybody's jealous of success. And, you know, the Patriots have been doing it for 15 years. Just, I feel so bad for teams like the Jets and the Bills. The Bills haven't made the playoffs in 18 seasons, and it's all because of Belichick and Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you just start another season as a Bills fan? You know what the outcome's going to be every yep. year. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but that's my prediction is 30-21 Patriots over the Saints.
All right, so let's talk a little bit of fantasy real quick. This is a fantasy sports show. We haven't talked fantasy really at all yet. So looking forward to next year, if you are drafting today, you know, not including the rookies that are going to be drafted to the NFL draft, you're drafting today, who is your number one pick overall?
I mean, I think the popular consensus pick would be Todd Gurley right now. I think that's probably who you have too.
Yep. Definitely Todd Gurley.
Yeah, for sure.
I think there's a couple. Go ahead.
However, I think most people would take Todd Gurley, but if you're playing a redraft fantasy football, you got to take positional volatility into account. And there are a lot of good running backs. You got Todd Gurley. You got Leonard Fournette, you got just Le'Veon Bell, you got David Johnson. There are so many good running backs. And so even if you don't get Todd Gurley, I mean, Le'Veon Bell will definitely do the job. So I would actually still, if I'm getting the first overall pick next year, I still think it's Antonio Brown, man. I just think receivers get injured so much, and there are only like three or four top tier wide receivers, Odell, Julio, and even Julio struggled this year. So it's basically just Odell and Antonio, and then it just goes down to like Mike Evans, and then it just keeps going down to like Devin Funchess, and it's just Adam Thielen is down there like with 1,000 yards. So I just think there are so many good running backs and just so few top tier legendary wide receivers that Antonio Brown is still the first overall pick if I have that pick this year. That's my take on it. I just think I'm the kind of guy who takes Gronkowski in the first or second round because the tight ends, the tight Gronk, position.
Yep.
And of course, Kelsey's had a really good year this year. But like in years past, it goes Gronk, then like 50 feet of Kraft. It's just like, oh my yeah. gosh. It's just, you gotta take the talent at the position through all 32 teams into account. I mean, I still think Antonio Brown's the first pick for me because I can get a David Johnson with the fourth or fifth overall pick too. So I think Antonio Brown's still the number one. He's just by far the best receiver in football. And yeah, it's not close.
I think I'd still go running back, and I think it would be Gurley, but you mentioned David Johnson. That would be the only sort of bug in the back of my head. You know, would I take David Johnson over Gurley? I think because he was injured all this year, I probably wouldn't. But I would definitely consider it. I would think about it. But I think Gurley would be the consensus number one overall pick. I can't argue with Brown. I mean, Brown has been a beast year in and year out. The only thing I would be worried about too is Big Ben. Is his head going to be in the game next year? I mean, he almost retired this past off season. Is he going to possibly retire this year? Is he thinking about retiring? Is he not playing, you know, up to par? He had a pretty awful season, especially going up until like the last few games. You know, he had a couple good games to end the season and make his overall stats look good, but he looked terrible early on. Like he was just going through the motions, basically. And that's the only reason why I'd be scared of Antonio.
That's a great point. I didn't even think of that. I really honestly didn't even think of that. But, I mean, even with Big Ben playing terribly this year, Antonio Brown was still an MVP candidate this year until he got hurt. And he was still on pace to have a monster year. He was on pace for like 1,800 yards. So, I mean, it's tough. It's tough decision. But, we haven't even talked about Ezekiel Elliott. He might be up there as an option for the first overall pick for sure, too.
This is true. It's amazing how a couple years ago it was the year of the receivers, and it was all receivers, and now you got all these top-tier running backs. You know, it used to be a passing league, and now you got all these running backs that can do, you know, both receive and, you know, run the ball, and they're becoming sort of the hot commodity now in fantasy.
Absolutely. Another reason why I would skip out on Gurley is that I'm a big believer in the zero running back strategy, man. I mean, Kenyon Drake, Jerick McKinnon, they've been awesome this year, and they were going undrafted in leagues. So it's
true.
Really easy to find a running back off the waiver wire. So that's why I'd probably lean towards Antonio Brown still.
Yeah, I can see that. Because, yeah, I mean, guys like you mentioned, Alex Collins in Baltimore has been pretty good going down the stretch.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I can definitely see the zero running back strategy working out. It's not for me, but I could see it being a strategy for sure. All right, that pretty much wraps up everything that I want to talk about tonight. I'm very excited to see the playoffs start here. We'll have to get you on at some point during the playoffs, especially if the Vikings make it far, because I know you're a Vikings fan. Definitely get you back on the podcast to talk about some playoff football. And then, of course, the NBA season, you know, the second NBA season just kind of kicked off, you know, on Christmas Day. So we'll definitely be talking some NBA as well, all the way up until till June, basically, for the finals for sure.
Yeah, when the inevitable Cleveland Cavaliers face the Golden State Warriors for the fourth straight year.
Yep, definitely, definitely. All right, guys, it's Matt Sandell going for 2.com. You can follow him on Twitter if you go to @returntothematt. I'm Jeff Lambert. You can follow me @JeffLambert77. That's the end of the show, guys. We're signing off. Have a good night.